Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans this morning. We're going to read from chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8 this morning. We're going to be reading verses 28 through 31 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28 and going through verse 31. As you're finding your place this morning, would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this passage of Scripture. So encouraging. But Father, we are here this morning to hear the Word of God preached and get what you have for us individually from this passage. God, work in our hearts. Help us to be better Christians for being here today. And Father, if there's somebody that does not know Jesus Christ and is not a Christian this morning, I pray they'd settle it before we leave. Now, for all that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Be seated now. I ask that you turn your electronic devices off, please. Give us a few moments of respite. We'd appreciate the peace and quiet, if nothing else. Now, sit real still and listen for a few moments, would you please? Romans 8:28. Most of you could quote that verse this morning. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that is a statement of confident knowing. Not we think so, not we hope so. How is this all going to... And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We also know there's two parts to the verse. There's God's part, and there's our part. God's part is all things work together for good. Christian, look at me. Please remember that. That's God's part. Don't get on God's side of Romans 8:28. I just don't see how this can happen. Or a lot of people today, they're trying to make it happen. They're going to make it work. Well, since God doesn't seem to be working on my time frame, then I'm going to... Well, that's how Abraham and Sarah created the battle in the Middle East for us today, because they didn't trust God enough to let Him do His part. Listen, people, listen to me. We know that all things work together for good. That is God's part of Romans 8:28. Stay away from that part. Trust Him, believe Him, know that He'll do it. My part of the verse is, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So in other words, my job is to love Him and live in His purpose. God will take care of how all things work together for good. But you see, now this is just me, nobody else in this room. There have been times when I've stood and looked at my life and other people's lives and their circumstances and the things through which they're going, scratched my head and said, I don't know how this could ever turn out for good. I just can't see it. You ever been there? Where you shook your head and you thought, man, how could this turn out for good? Now, please remember one other thing about this Romans 8:28 verse. It's good by God's definition, not mine. We've all had people tell us something is really good to find out something is really not very good at all. Good is subjective to people. So the good of Romans 8:28 is not my good, it's His good, as He understands it, the way He knows it. All things work together for good. Let's put it in there this morning according to God's good, not mine. But I'm telling you, folks, there have been times and I've scratched my head. I've stood beside gravesides and looked at that and thought to myself, This wasn't somebody well up into their years and it was time for them to go home to God. I think I've done over 350 funerals in these 32 plus years of pastoring. I've buried children. I've buried some of my own grandchildren. Teenagers. I stood beside hospital beds and thought, man, this poor soul is about not just having trouble. I mean, they are up against it in their life. Sometimes it's kind of like Job, you know, there came another one other thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. And you think to yourself, how could this turn out to good? How could a tragedy in life turn out to good? How could it be? We've all come to the place where we said, you know, Lord, we've quoted Romans 8:28 to stuff and thrown it out there and said, after all things work together for good. Hey, by the way, it always works better when you quote it about someone else's troubles. I love those hyper-spiritual Christians who do that to you. After all things work together for good. I just want to stomp on their foot or something. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me how they can really see Romans 8:28 so clearly in the things that happened to me. But there have been things I just wonder sometimes, how in the world could this turn out for good? Well, this morning, dear people, God is going to show us how all things work together for good. How does he do that? Now, you keep your Bible open this morning. We're going to go to the next verses. See, context to Scripture is always the best way to interpret Scripture. God did not write things and put them in the Bible in any particular order just to put them in there. There's a reason for that. Here's how all things work together for good. Look at verse number 29. In case you didn't know, 29 comes after 28. Follow this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Number one, you need to consider that God has a plan to make all things work together for good. Now look at me this morning. Look. All things work together for good to those that God works on in their life to make them like his Son Jesus. All things work together for good to them whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, some people take predestination and those sorts of things and they apply it to our salvation. Well, God is sovereign God. I mean, he knows who is and isn't going to be saved. No question. And he has predestined. Everyone who comes to God through Christ will be saved. That's predestined. That you're predestined to salvation? No. You're predestined for salvation? No. You can come to Christ. Anybody can come to Christ and be saved. He's predestined that the door of grace is open. But now listen to me very carefully. What God did predestinate in Romans 8:29 is this. Once you get saved and you come to Christ, God is going to begin to work in your life to conform you to the image of his Son, to make you like Jesus. See, but Pastor, how does that make everything work together for good? Now remember, that's God's part of Romans 8:28. But I'll tell you what happens. When a child of God allows themselves to let God work on them, to conform them. The word conform in the Bible is like a potter who takes wet dirt, makes it into clay, and makes a vessel out of that. How they press that into a vessel. They conform it to the image in the mind of the potter, and they make a vessel out of wet dirt, out of clay. That's conforming the dirt into a vessel. It's the idea of a sculptor who sculpts a piece of wood or stone and makes a beautiful sculpture out of that. And in the mind of the sculptor, he sees not a block of wood. He sees a beautiful statue of some kind. And he just simply works until he carves away and makes that. He conforms that into the image of what he had in his mind. And in the process of you letting God work on you to make you like Jesus, all things work together for good. And his good, and his understanding. Look at me, the way that God understands how it goes. When I was a little boy, my brother and I, who's 2 years older than me, were in a store one day, and we bought models. Not women, we bought models. We bought a little box with a model in it. And they were like a buck or something. And I saw this one particular model, and it was a model of a race car. It was a beautiful a picture on the box. I'd never put a model together before. And I saw that picture on the box in that race car, and I thought, man, that's great. My brother said, you know what? What you do is you put it together, and you'll have that race car when you're done. I said, that race car? He said, that race car right there, just like that. He said, now, it'll be a model, but it'll be really great. He said, I've never done that before. So we bought the model, took it home, got a tube of glue when you could buy glue, bought a tube of glue, took it to the house, opened the box. There wasn't no model in there. There's a bunch of plastic stuck together with these little wing things on them. Parts, pieces, decals, instructions. Instructions that looked like you needed like a PhD to figure out what in the world they were talking about. And I checked the model. It was for my age group. But see, I was thinking you open the box, boop, and the model was in the box. Don't listen to your older brother. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I looked at all those parts. I took all the parts and the pieces out of that thing. It covered the top of a table. And I thought, what in the world? He goes, I told you, you got to put it together. I said, put it together? Yeah, you follow the instructions. You start right here, one, you go down to 218. And when you're done, you'll have the model. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to open the box and get the model. That was it. Gave it to my brother. He put it together. Some people think, well, I asked Jesus Christ to save me, and I just don't understand why all things working together, not working together for good for me. Are you letting him work on you? Are you letting him conform you to the image of his son? Did you think the moment you trusted Christ, instantly you'd be super Christian and everything would just fall into pieces, would all come together, and your past would work out the way it should in your present, and your present would go the way it ought to go, and your future would be the way God would plan it? It is the way he plans it. He did predestinate to make you like his son Jesus, and in the process, he'll make everything work together for good. See, my job is just let the process go. Let God work on me. Let the potter work on the clay. Let the sculptor work on the stone. Listen to me. Let God do his work. Philippians 1 and verse 6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we keep looking at the pieces of it all, and we think, I don't see how in the world this could turn into a model. That's not your job. That's God's job. My job is to take the instructions. Here's your instructions right here. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image. We look in the mirror of the Word of God, and we behold the likeness of Jesus, and the more we see his likeness, and we allow this book to become part of my life, God says, I'm changed into his image. That's not miraculous. It's a metamorphosis where the Jesus on the inside that got there at salvation comes to the outside, and it's a process, but you give him time, he'll do it. And in the process, all things will work together for good. See, in this thing about all things work together for good is God's plan, dear people. God knows what he's doing. We say that to ourselves. And I think sometimes I wonder if we really even believe it anymore. God has a plan. Now listen to me very carefully. I am not saying everything that happens to you in your life is according to God's plan. You step outside of this book and leave the Bible out of your life, you're on your own. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to follow the instructions. I looked at those instructions as a boy, and I thought, you got to be kidding me. I got to find this little bitty piece and put some glue on it and stick it in the thing, put the thing. I'm not going to do all of that. A lot of people look at the Christian life, and they go, everything in there, I got to do whatever the Bible. Yes, yes, follow the Bible. Let the work, and God will conform you to the image of his son. And in the process, he will take your past, put it together with your present, give you hope for your future, and put the pieces together. And when he's done, he'll make you like Jesus. And everything will work together for good. Just let God work, you see. To see all things work together for good, I must let God's plan of Christ's likeness take effect in my life. Now look at verse number 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Did you see the steps there, please? Predestined to be like his son. The Bible said if he called you, he'll justify you. That's salvation. And if he has justified you, he will glorify you. That's the completion of God's work in our lives. By the way, listen very carefully. If you are justified, you will be glorified. Justification takes place the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. That is instantaneous. That's why you can't get baptized to be justified. You can't join a church to get justified. You can't live a life to get justified. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, trusting him alone for salvation. He justifies you in his sight. That moment, the instant you trust Christ. And at the very moment you trust Christ as your Savior, he guarantees that one day, when it's all over and said and done, either our bodies are in the grave or Jesus comes back to get us, we will be glorified and changed into the likeness of his son. Let me tell you what that means, that Romans 8 and verse number 30. If you are saved, you will go to meet God and he will guarantee that it is so. Here's what that's called, the security of the believer. that once you are saved, you are kept by the power of God, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians chapter 4, and that the moment you trust Christ, he guarantees you will have salvation and you will not lose it. He guarantees it. You say, well, Pastor, how does that make sure everything works together for good? Because if and when, let me put it this way, when we mess with God's plan to conform us like his son, God guarantees we stay one of his children, and he'll keep working on us. Here's the principle. You either let God work on you to make you like his son Jesus, or he'll work on you to make you wish that you would let his son Jesus come out in your life. Which one do you prefer? Haven't you ever done that with your children before? You looked at them and you said, look, you want trouble? You keep doing what you're doing and you're going to get in trouble. And the kid looks at you. I don't care how old they are, whether they're 4 or 14. It doesn't make any difference. They all look at you and you know exactly what was going through their head because you know what went through your head when your parents told you that. What did you hear? Blah, 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 blah. And didn't really believe you. Sometimes a kid is a little dumb and doesn't believe it when they say, you keep doing that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And they keep doing it. And what happens? You get in trouble. And then after you get in trouble, your parents will tell you, now this will never happen again if you just do what you're told. You can avoid all this trouble if you'll just do what you're told. You see, ladies and gentlemen, good parenting was taught by us by our good Heavenly Father. But what he does here is this. He does a wonderful thing, and he makes provision for the fact that until all things work together for good, he's going to keep you as his child. He's going to secure you in that salvation. He's going to hold on to you, and he's not going to let go until it's over. It's not over until Jesus comes to get you or you drop dead, one or the other. But he will guarantee the work. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So his provision is, here's how it's going to work. I am your heavenly Father. You are my child. I have justified you. I will glorify you. And I'm going to keep working on you until that day comes. It's a great old song, but it's called He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How wonderful and gracious he must be. He's still working on me. He said, well, Pastor Johnson, some of that conforming me to the image of his son takes away things I didn't want to be taken away. That's all right. Remember, it's his good. He knows what needs to stay. He knows what needs to go. He knows what we need to have, and he knows what we need to give up. Just let the potter do his work. Let the sculptor do his carving. It's all right. He knows what he's doing. And if you don't line up to it exactly like you ought to, don't worry about it. You're still his child. And he's not going to stop working on you. And he's going to keep on going. And if you just give God time, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. You give him time and God will put it all together. He puts all the pieces together. All things work together for good. If you're justified, you will be glorified. God will make sure you stay his child. And it's his work, not mine. Doesn't mean I don't have a part in this. It means simply I just need to let him work on me. Verse 31, now notice this one. I love this statement. You need to get this one. It says, what shall we then say to these things? What things? That all things work together for good. To these things, what things? That he's predestined you to become like his son Jesus is going to work on you. What things? These things. That you are justified and will be glorified and that he's going to keep a hold of you and as a child of God. What shall we say to these things? Let me see. If God be for us, why can he leave us alone? Right? If God be for us, just leave us alone. Teenagers, right? Teenagers? Why don't you just leave me alone? Why do you have to keep bugging me about stuff? Why do you have to keep asking me things? We'd always tell our teenagers, why don't you do what you're told and I'll leave you alone. I do have a life. I'd like to go do something else besides tell you the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, you know what? The truth of the matter is somewhere along the way, here's when we figure out the wisdom of our parents. When we become a parent. Huh? Then all of a sudden you realize just how smart your mom and your dad were and that they were really for you. And not against you. He's still working on us. Now look at me. He's still working on us. And the truth of the matter is everything will work together for good if we just keep it in our mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, we got folks today. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor Johnson, where I came from, my life, my past, everything that happened to me in my childhood. You don't understand. Oh, there's just no way my life could ever turn around. I am now codependent, and I've got all these issues in my life because of my childhood. It can't be. Yeah, that's you looking at your life the way you think it could ever be fixed. But God looks at us and says, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, my. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? God works on us and tries to conform us to the image of his son, and some of it is not pleasant. Some of it doesn't just goes contrary to my liking. What man likes to hang up his clothes? See, I do. You need a hormone check, pal. There's something wrong with you. No man likes to hang up his clothes. You pile them up neatly, and you just pull it out when you want it. I mean, I don't care how old you are. We got guys in this church, they iron their jeans. There's something wrong with you. You're a sick puppy, man. You are. Iron their t-shirts. You need to come in for counseling. I need to help you. You got issues. You know the truth of the matter is, dear people, there are things that I had to do when I was a kid I didn't care for. I didn't care for brushing my teeth. I just didn't. My mom would just say, you want teeth? Go brush them. There are things that just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me when I was a kid, and I thought they were against me because they wouldn't let me eat candy before dinner. Can't have that candy bar. You ruin your appetite. Pfft, you know me better than that. I'll eat that candy bar and half that chicken. It won't even bother me at all. No, as a matter of fact, that candy bar will help me eat half that chicken, come to think of it. That sugar kick in, brother, oh, that chicken doesn't stand a chance. Don't worry about it, Mom. I can eat the candy bar, and I will eat dinner. She'd make fried chicken in a black iron skillet with Crisco, and she'd roll that in a paper bag with the flour and everything and then put it in that Crisco and cook it up real good, golden crisp, and take and pour some of that Crisco off, and there'd be those little chicken noogies down there in the bottom of that, and she'd make white gravy with good salt and pepper in that thing and some mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans. You think a stinking candy bar is going to keep me from eating that chicken? No way. Not going to happen. And it didn't. I guarantee you. But she would never let me do it. I just didn't understand that. She doesn't understand. She's torturing me. The candy bar's got my name on it. It's calling my name. Then later on, we have kids. Dad, can I have candy before dinner? No, it'll ruin your... Oh. Oh. Oh, so they weren't against me when they took me to the dentist. What is up with dentists putting their hands in your mouth and then talking to you like you can speak? Oh, really? You understood me? Both hands almost to the elbow, and this cat's in my mouth pulling stuff out, talking to me about. I never said, oh, go to the dentist. That was just so exciting for me. No, it wasn't. I did not understand it. See, I thought they were against me. When they let me stay up late at night and made me get good rest. I thought they were against me when they said eat your vegetables. I thought they were against me. See, I didn't understand that at the time. Later on, I got it. Oh, all things work together for good. Oh, I get it now. I get it. God has made a promise. I am for you, my child. God's not against us. He's for us. We're his children. We belong to him. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. God is for us. He's on your side. Well, then why does he leave me alone? Because he's on your side. Why don't you just let me do what I want? Because he's on your side. He's for you. And most of this stuff about understanding how Romans 8:28 works out really is just you and me changing the way we look at God and what he's doing in our life. Then once we get that right, oh, now we got it. Okay. So he's putting all this pressure on me at church and Bible and reading and life, putting all this pressure on me to change me in my life. My favorite one is people come to church and they go, I don't want to go to your church. You're trying to change us. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sick of churches where you go and you come like you are, leave like you are, stay like you are, and do what you are. No, we don't need that. We need people whose lives have been changed. No, that's a good thing. Put pressure on. Change that clay into a vessel. Change it into a vessel meet for the master's use. Yeah. See, it's just me understanding God better. All things work together for good. You know, if I let him work on me, all things will work together for good. He'll never give up on me as his child. All things work together for good. And no matter what happens and transpires, those dark, deep valleys, those long midnights, those battles and struggles that come. By the way, they're not all like that. There are mountaintops, there are sunny days, there are blessings, and there are great victories too. Is that not true, child of God? Okay, let's get that straight now. But that's all in the mix of the all things. He's not against me. God's for me. I never thought my parents were telling the truth when they'd spank me and say, "Now, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you." I always tell my mom, "Well, why don't we save each other the pain?" What do you say? Then you don't have to be in pain and I don't have to be in pain. And we'll just save each other a lot of pain. Didn't work. I never took any pleasure out of disciplining, correcting my children. Never took pleasure out of it. But I knew it was for their good. I don't know where the school is in America today, but they just passed the initiative in their school that children are no longer allowed to say please because it's disrespectful to the child to say please. It demeans their personal self-image to say please. We've got a whole generation of people out there who don't have any idea how to show any kind of appreciation for anything, and now we want to make sure we make them feel good about it. Well, we're losing it, aren't we? But that's not being for anybody, because that doesn't help them. All things work together for good. He is for you. You understand? You ever think sometimes, why is it I can't get away with anything? Every time something happens, I get nailed. Because he's for you. He's trying to help you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And yes, all things work together for good. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.